This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We will get to the college football stuff in a second because we've got some tectonic plates shifting in college sports in a way that is pretty interesting, and it is hard to see where all of this is going to end up. But before we get to that, no Billy this week. He is out on vacation. And then I think beginning on August 17th, we will all be back and ready to go and together as a show. But I wanted to do this with you, Stugatz, because I want to know from sports, which is the situation among the two I'm about to set out for you that you believe to be the coldest? Okay, just simply cold, because we love the soap opera in sports, because we love guys going back and forth. And, you know, basketball has at least in part taken over social media because these guys are individual companies. They're all CEOs of their own companies, these stars. And so they don't have to care who they're fighting with. They can just go after people because they're not affecting their money. And you saw the back and forth with Damian Lillard and Patrick Beverley and Paul George, right? Did you see, how much information do you need here to set up what it is that happened between them over the weekend?
I have all the information. I know Dame missed a couple of free throws. I know that Patrick Beverley, towards the end of their game, Paul George and Patrick Beverley both were making fun, taking delight in that. And Dame came out after the game and said, "Hey, Paul George, I sent you home during the playoffs last year. Beverly, I've sent you home as well. Get out of here." And then last night had a big game.
All right. So before we do this, yes, Damian Lillard had 51 points yesterday. I believe that Patrick Beverley, salute to Patrick Beverley for being such an irritant that he can be the very face of mediocre NBA player and still be in the middle of everything with the big boys, because Patrick Beverley is a guy, you might want him on your team, you might want him to annoy others, but he is basically a thoroughly mediocre NBA starter, which I don't even mean as a slight on Patrick Beverley. It's just what he is. He's like right in the middle of a guy on your team who you're fine if he's your fifth guy. Like that, you're a decent team if he's your sixth guy.
I think you put that very, very well. He's a starter in the NBA, which is fantastic. He's just kind of average.
It's between him and the Morris brothers to figure out who is the smiling face of mediocre NBA starter more. In fact, put it on the poll, Tony, please, at Le Batard Show. Who is the smiling face of NBA starting mediocrity more? Is it Marcus Morris? Is it Markieff Morris? Or is it Patrick Beverley?
I just know I don't want to fight whoever you're trying to pick
Yes, correct.
With that poll.
Yes, I don't want to fight any of them either.
I would say before the bubble, it was probably TJ Warren.
Okay, yes. Well, that has changed and blown up in my face. We will get to that in a second, because Stugatz is going to be on the virtual screen today for a game that possibly will not have TJ Warren or Jimmy Butler in it. We scheduled all of this because we wanted that back and forth. But before we get to that, though, the Lillard part you're talking about, Stugatz, this isn't even the coldest part of it. The coldest part of it happened with family members in, you know, a bunch of deleted stuff on social media. But here's Damian Lillard saying of Patrick Beverley and Paul George, because they called Dame time when he missed a couple of free throws, and Damian Lillard wasn't having any of that.
After I missed the first one, I heard them over there yelling. I just think that's, to me, that just shows what they expect from me down the stretch. You know, they know what I do. Asking me about Patrick Beverley, who I sent him home before at the end of a game. Paul George just got sent home by me last year in the playoffs. So they know that the reason they're reacting like that is because of what they expect from me, which is a sign of respect. If anything, it should just tell you how much it hurt them to go through what I put them through in those situations previously.
So there's that, and you think that's cold enough. Now, hold on a second, Stugatz, because I'm going to put something on the poll against all of this that I believe is colder than what it is we're talking about right here, because this gets worse. So you basically have Damian Lillard's sister on social media. Do you know this back and forth? Do you know any of this that I'm about to say here, Stugatz?
No, I did not know his sister got involved, no.
All right, well, listen to this, okay? Because Paul George, during a playoff series against Miami, famously visited a strip club. here during those playoffs when he played for Indiana. And what ended up happening after that was a lot of mockery in Paul George's life because of a stripper who got pregnant. So what you're having happen here on social media is Damian Lillard's sister is going after, she's going after Paul George, saying you got a stripper pregnant and then you wifed her up. And Paul George's girlfriend is coming back at her by calling her simply a fat cow. So you say this is unbelievably cold, right? Like all of this stuff, and now there's a bunch of deleted posts and everything else, but all of this is personal, it's cold, it's soap opera, it is ugly, it's more personal than it needs to be, frankly, once the family members end up getting involved. But you tell me whether it's colder than what I'm about to tell you, Stugatz, which is... Okay. A week ago, Monday, you ended a show staring at me with open-mouthed horror because we had not mentioned until the last 10 seconds of the show that a Blue Jays catcher named Reese McGuire had been caught in a parking lot pleasing himself. And I mentioned it just flippantly, last 10 seconds of the show, and the show ended, and you spent the next 30 seconds staring at me silently with your mouth hanging open in the Zoom chat. Mm-hmm. Which is colder, Tony? I want you to put it on the poll. All of the family stuff back and forth between Lillard and Paul George, or the Atlanta Braves choosing as walk-up music for Reese McGuire, Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Oh!
Do you think Sugatz understands the joke?
It is chilly.
How cold is that? And why can't we always get professional sports teams to behave just this unprofessionally? I saw that the Bucks, right? The Bucks deleted a tweet a couple of weeks ago because they've got the foreign player, Dante. I can't pronounce his last name.
I don't think he's a foreign player either.
I can't pronounce
Dante his Dante DiVincenzo.
Excuse me. That's right. White Dante.
I think he's from Indiana.
His name sounds foreign enough that I thought it was foreign.
You thought he was like one of these swing guards from Italy?
I thought he was like Luca. So he crossed over somebody from the opposing team, and the Milwaukee Bucks tweeted out, because it was a black guy that he crossed over who fell on the floor, Black Lives Matter, and then they had to go and delete it. But I got to think that as this stuff, social media gets younger and younger and teams have younger people handling these accounts, we're going to get more and more of that, right? And we want more and more of that, do we not?
100%. We want more and more. I mean, who wouldn't want more of that except for the person experiencing it on the other side? But as fans, of course, we want more of that. I am dying to know where Dante DiVincenzo comes from.
He's from Delaware.
He's a blue one.
I am going to try and defend myself here, and I'm going to do it poorly. I was trying to start the show, Stugatz, slalom coursing through some pretty sensitive subject matter to be talking about to open a show on Disney Radio. And unfortunately, I will get no credit for this because the only thing anyone will remember from that first segment was the egregious mistake I made that Mike has been laughing at me about the entire break.
Dante DiVincenzo is a foreigner. Dude's from Delaware. I think he has one of Jim Nance's ties.
Tony, put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Can you be any less foreign than Delaware? Any less foreign than Delaware, because I didn't know it was the same guy, Mike. I didn't know it was the Villanova kid who was in the championship game because I wasn't paying close enough attention. So I didn't know who it is that was playing for the
Bucks.
I thought it was a white foreign Dante.
Look, historically, when I was growing up, you throw out a name like Dante DiVincenzo, they're probably a swing guard from, you know, Parma. But in this case, he had a fairly famous college career. Like I said, I believe a winner of a Jim Nance tie, and those don't just grow on trees, Dan. I think this is a byproduct of you watching every sporting event on mute.
That hurts me, I can assure you. It's certainly part of why I can't pronounce anybody's name.
It's either Delaware, the Dakotas, or Idaho. I mean,
that's all good. All good choices. All right, put those on the poll as well, Tony, at Lebatard Show. What is least foreign to America? Delaware, the Dakotas, or Idaho? Because I'm totally with you, and I deserve whatever it is that you guys want to hammer me with on this subject. Chris Cody, did you have a vote on the slalom course matter that I was throwing out there during the first segment? What's colder, do you think? What the Braves did to troll Reese McGuire, who was pleasing himself in a parking lot and got caught by TMZ and police officers, or the back and forth between Lillard's family and Paul George's girlfriend?
I would say the Braves celebrating what was probably the most shameful moment of this man's life. It's the coldest.
Was that? Now, I did not hear whether the music, are they doing Organists, which would be an unfortunate name for this particular story, or are they doing just walk-up music that is from, you know, that would be actually Michael Jackson's Beat It, or is it just an organist doing Michael Jackson's Beat It?
Right, because this was a road player, and usually when the visiting team is up, they get little organist jingles as opposed to regular music. So this was a subtle organist playing Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Okay. I love the fact that it's called an organist on this particular story.
At least it's not a pianist.
Stugatz, what are you doing for tonight for the non-TJ Warren, non-Jimmy Butler game that we were all building up toward? You've got VIP virtual seats. What can we tell the audience tuning in to tonight's Heat Pacers game about where and how they can see you? Do you know anything?
I know that I got an email from the Heat accepting my application, so we appreciate their help. I'm a little disappointed that the bubble MVP might not be playing tonight, but what I plan on doing is cheering for TJ Warren, hopefully wearing a TJ Warren jersey, coming up with some clever TJ Warren signs that can get on the screen. But if TJ Warren's not playing, I don't know what we're supposed to do. I mean...
Also, I don't know if anyone's going to be able to see any shirt you're wearing. So if we got you a TJ Warren jersey, I don't know if anyone would be able to see it.
All right, but we've got a reason now to watch a regular season basketball game for the possibility that Stugatz's face will be in one of the screens. I do wonder, though, Stugatz, have you checked in at all? Because there have been a number of times in the past where you have ripped people on the Heat and the Heat get mad at you, for example, because Dwayne Wade's statue is something that at one point you said you would work your fingers to the bone, making sure he never got a statue and never got a jersey retired if he ended up in Cleveland. So you have your back and forths with the Heat. How's it going to go over when the Heat get you access to VIP virtual fan experience and you're wearing Pacers gear?
I don't know how that's going to go over with the Heat. They have sent me an invitation. I have not logged in yet. I don't have to log in yet. I don't have to log in until we get closer to game time. Are the Heat aware that I am doing this for TJ Warren and not for them? Like, I didn't have any communication with the team, so I don't know.
You didn't ask for any of this. Didn't ask for any of this.
Listen, I will show up and I will root for TJ, or I'll root for the Heat if TJ is not playing. Well,
you want to explain to the audience, for those who might not know, and I suspect most of them know, why the hell you would be wearing a TJ Warren jersey?
Well, I told Dan before the season resumed that Mike and I were telling Dan, we were talking about TJ Warren, and I said TJ Warren is a guy who can give you 45 on any given night, even though throughout his NBA career he had never given anyone 45 points on any given night, and then he exploded for 50-plus in a regular season game in the bubble, and we made fun of Dan, and we're still making fun of Dan, because I was right about TJ Warren. And since then, he has probably been the best player inside of that bubble.
No,
certainly
he has been
the best scorer.
He has been. No, there's no question about it. Everyone is discovering TJ Warren here at the same time. I hate the fact, though, that you said, I hate the fact that you get to be right about TJ Warren can give you 45 any given night. TJ Warren had never given you 45 on any given night. And then TJ Warren gives you 45 on his very first night back. It's unbelievable.
Ponte los patines. Time for some ads.
as big a win as you've had around here. Honest to God, like they don't get bigger than that. I don't know. I don't know how I could look any more stupid.
Dante coming, playing in Europe.
Delaware Dante, fair enough. And Lithuanian Dante.
Did you, what, I'm still trying to figure out what happened. Did you confuse him with Connaughton?
I just did not know who he was. I did not know. I did not know that the same player from Villanova. I did not know.
Did you mean the other white player that participated in the slam dunk contest, Pat Connaughton?
Is it possible Dante Sabonis is who we got him confused with?
He's possible? Also American, Stu. Oh, wow.
Connaughton is even less foreign than white Dante. Like, he's from Massachusetts. He went to Notre Dame. That's not the mistake that I make. Stugatz, what did you find interesting? Because I have found what is happening right here in college football to be fascinating. And I've told you here for a couple of weeks that people who know a lot more than me about what's going on with college football have been saying for weeks now, this is over. This season is not going to be played. They've been planning already the economy of college football with the firings that will have to take place to make room for the absence of the dollars that college football is supposed to bring in. And so for a couple of weeks now, if you've been listening to this show, you knew that what's happening right now was on its way. Because, again, people who know a lot more than me say the plans on what these meetings are right now have been happening. These meetings aren't, hey, let's discuss this and brainstorm. These meetings are, what do we do right now to finish this college football season? And so now that we're here, you get the unusual position of players giving voice to, no, we want to play. And players then being aligned with their customers in a way that they normally aren't. So as you've seen some of this play out, what is it that you have found interesting?
I respect the players and the fact that they're saying they want to play. I would slow it down a little bit because I think what players have learned through this is just how important they are to the equation. You have NFL players scheduled to make $15, $20 million who are opting out of contracts over coronavirus concerns. These guys are playing for free. I do like the fact that they are going to create, or at least talking about creating, a players association, something they probably should have done years ago, but at least this is going to lead to that. I think the most interesting thing for me is Trevor Lawrence and his reason for wanting a college football season, because it is his belief that players are going to be safer playing college football than they will be if they are left to their own devices. I find that part of it interesting. That's a very tough spot for college football, because I agree with Trevor Lawrence.
This is the part. You agree that it's safer to play football? That we can argue about that, right? We can argue about that. But I don't think that, however reckless college students are being going to bars in the offseason and whatnot, I'd make the argument it's not as dangerous as colliding into others with a testing program that's going to be insufficient because you don't actually have the money involved that football, professional football and basketball will have to pull some of this stuff off.
Yeah, but Dan, what you do have is an infrastructure. What you do have is the ability to at least get a test fairly quickly, I would believe, if you're at, you know, if you play at one of these Power Five conference schools. And I do think there is some, not for everyone, but I do think there is something to what he is saying, where this is probably a safer environment for
playing
football, just being on a campus with a team with doctors around.
All right. We can argue about all that, and it'd be an interesting debate that would have its merit on both sides. That's not the part about this that I find fascinating, because that to me is the micro. I'm more interested in the macro, in that we've been telling you, as you've been watching for months here, that much of the flailing change that you see from these corporations on taking names off of buildings and all of that stuff is happening, at least in part, because in the absence of real reform that's systemic, you just grab the symbols at first because it makes you feel less helpless. You can't really change what is happening in terms of Black Lives Matter in the next 5 years. So what you do in the interim is you take Aunt Jemima's face off a bottle, because the systemic change that you need can't happen very quickly. But in college football, what you're watching happen, more than taking names off of buildings on campus, more than changing the Mississippi flag because a running back doesn't want to be associated with Mississippi anymore, more than the symbols, what you're seeing right now at the core of all of this is the fight over money as sports, Stugatz, have been laid bare on the greed. What baseball's doing is disgusting, Stugatz. They're just going to get to the dollars, even if the Marlins are winning with a guy who has never – they won games with a guy who has never pitched above single A,
right,
with a second baseman who's an Olympic skater, and with a closer who hadn't had a save since 2016. That's how because the Marlins are going to get to the end of these dollars, however it is that they have to get to the end of these dollars. The part that I find fascinating, as you see these presidents getting together wondering whether or not to cancel the football season, is that I legitimately do not know, as we sit here, whether those college presidents are saying we have to protect our kids or we have to protect our amateurism. I legitimately do not know whether they are trying to protect the optics of throwing young bodies into a disease as unpaid labor or, oh, wait a minute, we can't start caving on these demands where we give these players money and liability waivers and everything else. I legitimately do not know if these college presidents are motivated by the right thing or not as it relates to this, because they're going to be able to file it under, well, the health of the kids was most important to us. But I feel like what might be at play here is amateurism is most important to us. We can't have these guys unionizing. We can't have the customer backing these guys. The customer is never on the side of labor in this issue. The customer still, all polling data shows, Stugatz, all of it. When you're talking about the white-black stuff, what you're talking about with the polling data is white people think that black people in college sports should stay broke. That's not an opinion. That is polling scientific data that the people you will find who say that the kids in college basketball and college football need to stay unpaid, they're white people. So when you're talking about systemic change, Stugatz, when you're talking about changing the structure of the injustice, right, because it's built upon the injustice of television is going to be making a whole bunch of money off of this. Administrators going to be making a whole bunch of money off of this. Kids not making a whole bunch of money off this. And so when Trevor Lawrence says, hey, I'm going to be a first round pick, I want to play. Get me out there, but protect me in every way. I can see presidents saying, you know what? Let me just kick this one down the road 6 months, see if this virus just mysteriously disappears so I could get the system back where it is all the time, unjust, as opposed to the players having the power and the customers behind them.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything.
Stugatz, I was getting ready to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the last time I saw Roy Bellamy smile. I was getting ready. However, during the break, I saw creep across his face, muscles I thought had atrophied and were never going to work again. A package arrived at his home, and Roy Bellamy showed something that resembled not joy, but something less than brooding despair. Roy, what is that package in front of you? What have you received at home?
I received a care package from Sniffin' Griffin's Barbecue. Sniffin' Griffin's Barbecue is owned by rapper Warren G. I have sauces and I have seasoning. So, yes, today is definitely a good day for me.
How much do you have there? Tell me about all of the swag that you got there. How many bottles are there from Warren G. Sniffin' Griffin's Barbecue?
I have 7.5. All right. Reason why it's 7.5 is because the eighth bottle broke.
Okay, very good.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Let us know, please, once you start consuming that, whether Warren G's Sniffin' Griffin barbecue sauce is something we should have in our lives.
Now, Chris has said, what a Monday, and I would agree. That is, I mean, it's hard to make Mondays anything enjoyable, and Warren G just did that in his barbecue sauce for Roy. I would say it's either barbecue sauce or Manscaped. Those are the things that could really make a Monday. That's a tremendous Monday by Roy. I love barbecue sauce with French fries, by the way. I no longer dip my French fries in the ketchup. I go Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce as my, you know, as my preference for things that I dip my fries into. It's amazing.
Condiment,
it's
I think, is the word you were looking for there. You're welcome. At Lebatard Show, do you dip your French fries in barbecue sauce?
Oh, delightful condiments.
Yes or no. Also, as part of your fun Monday, Stugatz is going to be a part of your Monday evening, but we have no idea because we are an unrelenting marching band nowhere that doesn't actually accomplish things. This has been a little too easy getting Stugatz on the VIP virtual fan board in the game between Indiana and the Heat. We did this because TJ Warren and Jimmy Butler were feuding. They're both questionable tonight. I am worried. I am bracing for an inevitable disappointment when I don't get enough Stugatz in my life tonight while watching Heat Pacers.
I have so many questions. I don't know who was in charge of this. So Chris is maintaining just getting my face on screen is a big win for us. Now, I just figured if you're one of the few virtual fans, your face automatically at some point is going to be on screen. So that's going to be a W. But I don't know who communicated with the Heat, and I don't know whoever did if they told them, hey, we're doing this because he's rooting for TJ Warren, because all this has come way too easy from the Heat. So I don't know what was presented to them. You know?
Well, I think this is less exclusive than we think it is. I think there's the very real possibility that you will be on a screen and no one will ever see you because you're just not in the shot in any way. And there are 40 other faces there, including Lorenzo's, which no one wants to see. And so really? I have no idea. This was so easy that I think it isn't exclusive. I think they're dying for people to line up and spend their evening cheering into an empty video camera so we feel less lonely about our entire basketball watching experience.
This in no way, shape, or form feels special, I mean, or unique. It feels like I'm being forced to watch a game that really doesn't mean anything.
Well, the Heat don't like you very much, which is another reason that I'm just a little bit worried about the fact that this entrance was so easy. Like, where's the bait and switch? What's going to happen here? Are we going to just waste 3 hours of Stugatz's time where he's in his home with his face painted and we never see him on television?
I'm really worried about Stugatz not showing up on time because Lorenzo's been messaging me this morning that this is like a first come, first serve thing. So like, I'm worried that Stugatz is going to show up like mid first quarter and get like the worst spot possible.
What do you mean waste Stugatz's time? What else is Stugatz going to be doing? He's going to be watching the game either way. Might as well get some content.
Are you not familiar with the entire Stugatz experience?
I'm familiar with the fact that he's on a Zoom right now, even though he's in town. I'm not even sure what's going on.
Stugatz is in quarantine. He's supposed to be in studio with us. Keep in mind, it strains every ounce of credibility to think that Stugatz was actually at a lacrosse mitzvah at a time when they're not doing that anymore in public, and he gets quarantined because he says he went to Maryland for a lacrosse mitzvah tournament, but I don't believe that that's what happened there. I believe he simply wanted to get out of the drive to work.
I honestly think we should start looking at this whole junior lacrosse circuit as we're having big ethical discussions over whether or not college kids play. Stugatz is just traveling around the country at all these lacrosse
games. To hot spots where he gets quarantined so he doesn't have to drive into the studio.
Perhaps. All fair questions, by the way, and I have earned your skepticism, no question about it. But I will tell you that these are not tournaments. All of them have been canceled. My daughter is an All-American. She made All-American. I was not going to deny her of the opportunity to play in these All-American tournaments, and therefore I've been going to the hot zone of Maryland, but it is absurd that I have to quarantine when I come back to the hotter zone of Broward County.
Your living room is a hot zone.
It is. You basically need to quarantine from whatever is in your living room because of that. Funniest thing from the sports weekend is next.